This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the show. Junks live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We should be joined shortly by our friend Alan May, and I believe he's on with us now, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Presented by PVI Office Furniture, fast, excellent, affordable. Business regrows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. Alan, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy? Doing great.
We are doing well. The Caps return back to Capital One Arena tonight after a long road trip up in the New York, New Jersey metro area. They get to face the Bruins tonight. How do you think they fared on that road trip? I know the, you know, a 5 or 6 game road swing will take a lot out of a team. How do you think they fared on that swing up in the New York area?
I'm sure they're not happy. They were 2-3 on the road trip, and you know, you always want to go 500 or better, and they've been better all season long when you think of it. I think they're, without looking at a stat sheet, they're like 10-3-2 on the road. So they're doing all right, maybe 10-4-2 now. But the, you know, you lose games, but I think just to be in that area, locked in the hotel the whole time, they played kind of unmotivated. They were off their game. They weren't pressuring the puck. And they definitely had to get back home. It's only for one game, and then they got to go on the road for two. But I think just come home, reset, readjust, get the hell out of that New York area, and be happy.
Alan, it really stinks that Vitek Vanacek took the loss against the Islanders. He was awesome in that game. I mean, he really deserved to get a W in that game. He was turning away nearly everything. The Islanders got one past him. That was it. But that was quite a performance by him against the Islanders.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised by how well he plays. You know, it's been consistent improvement all season long as well. So they weren't able to score the other night, and the Capitals going to have to figure out how to play the Islanders a lot better. But Vanacek was the bright spot in that game, and you really can't say any of the skaters were, but it was Vanacek. It seemed like every few minutes was making another showstopper type of save. And they've got to have confidence. Both these young goaltenders right now are playing phenomenal, or they're, you know, they're just at the top of their game. And they won't need to make a trade for a veteran goaltender. And that's probably the big greatest news for the Capitals right now, is that both these kids have been really, really good for them.
Alan, speaking of trades, the Islanders felt like they needed to shake it up. They land Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils for prospects and some picks. How does that alter the way that the Islanders look heading down the stretch of the season?
Well, I look at Travis Zajac as a centerman, and he was playing, you know, first line center for the Devils, but they had they've got a lot of injuries right now, and you know, they were kind of dressing him up to get him out of there, I think, and had his point totals. He was all of a sudden playing on the power play, which he's not done in his entire career. And 35-year-old player, he will not fit into the middle, I think, with the Islanders. They have Matt Barzal, Brock Nelson, J.P. Pageau, and Casey Cizikas, who's regarded as the center of the best fourth line in the National Hockey League. So I'm not sure where they're going to play him. He's not very fleet of foot. I'm not so sure how excited I am about that part of the trade for them, but I think Kyle Palmieri adding an option of another right-handed shot that can play up and down the lineup. I think that's more significant there. But once again, they're both older players, 30, 31, and 35, something like that. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just not very excited about it. A lot of people think it's a great trade. I'm not one of them.
Alan, you touched on the fact that the Washington Capitals don't look like they need to make a move goaltending-wise. If you put on your GM hat, the trade deadline is coming up Monday. What's the one move that you're going to make for this Washington Capitals team?
Well, I'm going to trade for a centerman. I'm going to get a guy out there that can play maybe a top nine guy, but certainly has got to be a third line type of player that can play center and wing, because really the third line's not getting enough done right now. Ponick was waived yesterday. The defense, I'm fine with, absolutely fine with, even though they looked horrible. They didn't look so great on the road trip. And I think that's because the forwards weren't doing their job and they were a line weak. The third line just didn't cut it for me on the road trip. I like Strong's game. At times, Verana's got to get his game going, and he should probably be on the second line. And I'd expect tonight the Capitals will change it up. But to me, the biggest thing is that they have to have third-line depth, and they've got to find a centerman as well, because we've seen when they've missed Kuznetsov or an Eller, they don't look so good. So they definitely need to bolster that part of their lineup up just in case, as an insurance policy as well.
Hey, May, like I was texting you a few days ago, the Islanders are just a pain in the ass. All right, I don't know if this trade makes them much better. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. They've only allowed 90 goals in, you know, not even 40 games. I realize the Caps are 3-2 against the Islanders this year. They play them three consecutive times, I believe, coming up in a couple weeks, which is weird. They're just a pain in the butt. You know they're well coached. Every game seems like it's a slugfest. I don't want to play them in the playoffs, man. I know we probably will have to get through it. I don't want to play them.
I get what you're saying, but the biggest thing to me is they're a one-dimensional team. And the Capitals, a week ago, let them play fast. And believe me, the Islanders only have about, you know, five quick forwards, if that. They've got one fast defenseman. They play slow game. But if you're going to play them, you have to do the ground and pound. You're going to have to go to the front of the net, play ugly. And the Capitals played a soft game. The last two times they played offensively with the puck, they were trying little soft passes on the perimeter, trying to pass through sticks, and they should be just chucking the puck at the net, crashing and banging, and doing what they did in 2018 when they won the Cup, and that's score ugly goals. But right now, if they're going to try to play pass off, you know, shoot off the pass, score off the pass, it's not going to work. They've got to get pucks to the net. They've got to battle hard, and the Islanders defensemen aren't fleet of foot. So I think you put them in a position where they've got to scramble, where they've got to react quick, and play the game differently, which most teams don't want to do it that way. But that's the way I would handle it if I were the Caps coaching staff.
Joined by Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. You know, talking about guys who are pests, who are pains in the butt. Connor Sherry's been a really good signing by Brian McClellan. He's cheap, which I know they like because they're strapped against the cap. He's only making, I think, $735K on a one-year deal. He's given them 14 points in 36 games, and he's just a gritty, tough little player. That's a good signing by McClellan.
How much money do you make that he's only making $735?
Well, I'm talking about it relative to NHL salaries.
I'm messing with you. Yeah, you know, he's been a phenomenal signing. And, you know, it took him a little while to get acclimated at the start of the season. Short training camp, really didn't get to know his teammates, a drastically different system than he's been playing. And he still had to get some of that Buffalo out of his system, even though he – you know, ended with the Islanders last year. A couple of years in Buffalo would take your heart and soul the way they played the game the last few years. But he's an energy guy. Every shift we notice him for the positive, and he doesn't have to have the puck to be a good player. What I really do like about him, he's the smallest Capital, and he gets the puck out of the zone every time on his half wall inside the defensive zone. When he gets the puck, the great defense is just to get that thing over the line and make a play, and he does that consistently. And guys who are a lot bigger than him don't do it. So it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. That guy's got a lot of fight in his game. So I'm a big fan of what he does. He does get to the net, you know, crash and bang. And, you know, he's got the good traits from Pittsburgh as far as the way Mike Sullivan coaches his team. Those things haven't left Connor Sherry. In Buffalo, they didn't use those attributes. The Washington Capitals are very appreciative that he's here and he's playing the way he is. He's been a great signing.
I was surprised that you said, I guess I didn't notice it, that the Caps released or put Ponick on waivers. They gave him a decent amount of money a couple of years ago, right? But I guess he had been having a hard time kind of finding his way in a lineup.
Well, he's got to be a lot better the way he plays the game. I call him a three-quarters player. He goes three-quarters of the race and he stops. You know, you have to finish your hit. You have to get to the net. You have to finish your plays, and he's not quite there all the time. So it's kind of a kick in the ass to get him to wake up. And the other thing it does is it's open salary cap space right now. He's made $2.75 million a season. He's got a couple years left on that deal, and they've got to open up some cap space for the trade deadline coming up and maybe the addition of another player from the minors or whatever. But the big thing is it puts him on notice. And, you know, the first-line left winger for the Islanders the other day, Leo Komarov, I think he makes about four-something. He's been exposed to waivers twice this season. So I don't think anyone's been picked up other than a goaltender this season on waivers. I'm probably wrong. There's probably been a guy making minimum wage that's been picked up by somebody else. But right now, that's just a tactic they're using because of the COVID rules with IR, the taxi squad, everything they have. So Connick's salary, $1,075,000, comes off the salary cap list of his salary. So you deduct that. So there's space there to add another player right now.
Alan, give us a refresher on the Bruins, who are in the building tonight. They come to D.C. to face the Caps. I've seen so much Devils, Rangers, and Islanders in the last 2 weeks. I want to puke. Let me know more about the Bruins and how they've been faring of late. Fourth in the East right now.
Well, I think the Bruins are kind of up and down right now, and their coach seems to be blaming. You know, every game they lose, it's a different group of players he's blaming. For a while there, it was always he was blaming his star players. The game before that, he was blaming his role players. The game before that, he was blaming his defense. They should have thought about their defense when they just let Chara go and they got rid of, you know, let Torrey Krug go without an offer. So they're not going to be the same type of team. They took their top 2 minute munchers as far as left defensemen are concerned, and they've got a bunch of guys there that no one's ever heard of. And the guy that was on their third pair is now their number one guy, Matt Grizzlick. So, you know, they're a work in progress. They've got a lot of younger players. They're trying to play the game fast. But I think there's probably not a lot of hockey players right now when the coach is using the media as a weapon rather than talking to players directly.
Hey, Alan, is Varley the best goalie right now in the game?
You know what? You and I could get shutouts playing in the Islanders system right now. So I'm not going to say that it is. It's the system that's conducive to getting shutouts. You know, they don't allow a whole lot of shots. They're a shot suppression team.
Right.
They don't really try to score. And after they get their first goal, if they score the first goal of the game, they don't try to score the rest of the way unless maybe they're on the power play. They're uber defensive. And I look at these two kids, Samsonov and Vanacek. If they were playing there, if Chuka Rask was playing there, they'd all be getting shutouts at the same rate.
So the deadline is Monday, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Monday at 3 p.m.
So do you definitely anticipate some sort of a move? Maybe not a major move, but they'll make some move, correct?
They have to. Yeah. I believe 100%. The reason they're waiting probably is, like everyone, the Islanders trade last night. They gave up a first-round draft pick, so they kind of set the market, supposedly. But teams will get desperate. Mm-hmm. Some teams are asking way too much. You know, they're asking first-round draft picks for third-line players. And that's not going to fly with most teams, so you've got to gauge where that is. You probably want, if you're using draft picks or prospects, you probably want to be down at the third-round level. And I honestly believe the Caps have to add forward depth because the minor league team that they have, the Hershey Bears, they don't have a centerman that could play a whole, you know, an entire four rounds in the playoffs. So they've got to find someone that's going to be good enough to be on the roster and contribute that can play through four rounds in the playoffs if they're lucky enough to go that far.
All right. Got to ask you tonight.
Yep, here it is.
Here it is.
Close the old eyes.
Boston here.
Over in the Caps.
Over 5.5. All right.
Yeah, and the Caps.
All right.
There it is. Over in the Caps. That's from Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
Thank you, Alan.
Care,
appreciate it, buddy.
Bye. All right.
Yep.
See you, man.
Bruins, I believe, 5 points clear of the fifth place team, the Rangers. So they would love to come in and steal a win against the Caps to solidify that playoff position as we're in the home stretch now. 17 or 18 games left for most teams.
Yeah, so think about this. As I mentioned, when we're talking to Alan, with the Islanders, I think they're just a pain. The Caps are going to play a mini playoff series against them April 22nd, 24th, and 26th, I believe. They play the Islanders back-to-back-to-back.
Ooh, look at that.
Right. And then that'll be the 6th, 7th, and 8th game they played against them. They're 3-2 against the Islanders this year. They've lost the last two, pretty sure. And they will play them three consecutive times starting on, Thursday, April 22nd. So 22nd, 24th, and 27th, they play the Islanders.
800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get back to open lines when we return. And we need a Masters update as well. The first round underway from Augusta.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday here on 106.7 The Fan. Feel free to call us at 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Brought to you by our friends at the DC Lottery. Lots of stuff you could talk about. The Caps are off their road trip. They host the Bruins tonight. The Masters is underway. The Nats lose both games in a doubleheader yesterday at Nats Park to the Braves. Fetty struggled. Strasburg was dealing. Lots of good stuff to talk about. You could talk about the Washington football team. There, you know, we got a report from, I believe, Bleacher Report. They went through every team's worst free agent signing, and they deemed that Washington's worst free agent signing was Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, and that, I mean, blows me away.
I take umbrage with
that. Let's
chat
about that, please.
Like Curtis Samuel is, I think, he seems like a perfect number two complement to Terry McLaurin. He's a young guy who's ascending, who they're familiar with. I mean, they drafted him in Carolina, this regime that's here in Washington. He seems like a great fit with the offense. He can play in the backfield. He can carry the ball. He's a very good receiver. I don't see what the problem is. You didn't pay top of the market money for him like the Giants did for Kenny Galladay. I don't see what the problem is with Curtis Samuel.
It irritates me, too, but I think what they're getting at is that, remember, and I mentioned this when they signed him, is that the one thing you have to keep an eye on is the numbers were inflated because they used him as a slot guy last year, right?
Right.
So his targets went up, his yards per catch went way down, but he had a great season, right? I think he found the end zone a bunch of times, too, if I'm not mistaken. But when Washington signed Humphreys, that immediately showed you that he's going to be more of the slot guy. And Samuel, as John Kimes said, they plan to move him around and play him everywhere. So he may still be a very, very impactful receiver,
right,
but he may not put up the kind of numbers that he put up in Carolina last year. In fact, I would probably argue that he won't.
I mean, he was targeted 97 times last year. He had 77 grabs for 851 yards. He had 3 receiving touchdowns.
Oh,
now he also had 40.
Okay.
He also had 41 carries.
Yeah.
41.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
lot.
That's a big. Like, it's not like it's a wideout getting a gadget play here and there. That's like he's factored into the rushing
game.
Three
or four a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's substantial.
Well, isn't that the problem though? That's that he wasn't utilized under Allen and Ron. Joe Brady made him great last year. Joe Brady got him an open space. Joe Brady gave
him
carries.
they could copycat if they wanted to.
But you're telling me he's going to go right back to where he was playing in Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I said that the day they signed him.
Well,
if they don't use him,
then they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
he can run like a freaking cat. I mean, you have to use him and get him in open field, go in open spaces if you want to take advantage of his skill set. You just have to do that.
Right, and he may not have 77 catches like he did last year in Carolina, but he doesn't have to get to that number here to be successful. I think if he frees up McLaurin, like I believe he will, if he gets you 60 or 65 grabs, finds the end zone 5 times.
What if he has 50?
50 is a little light. I would expect a number two to have 60-plus if he stays healthy. But I think if he has 60-plus receptions, four or five end zone trips. You sprinkle him in the backfield. I think that's what they're looking for out of him.
And remember, they got a quarterback who likes to chuck it.
Right.
All right. That's good. It's a lot different than last year. He did not like to chuck it. And when he did, he threw it about 4 yards.
Look at the highlights or lowlights of Curtis Samuel when he was streaking wide open when Kyle Allen was the quarterback in Carolina. And he would miss him downfield all the time.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to be on target when he's open downfield. I don't see the downside to signing Curtis Samuel. I just don't. Now, if you'd paid $17 million a year for him, then you might be questioning it. But he's not making that sort of money. He's not making Galladay and Allen Robinson type of money here.
But he's a top 20 paid receiver who's only going to get you five touchdowns. If that's
right.
You know, well, I think it's a fair article.
We don't know. We have no idea.
Criticize it.
It's not fair to say he's the worst signing.
We have no idea how many touchdowns he's going
to have. It's not like they signed 80 guys. But it is the most questionable. I think the Jackson signing is a home run. Fitzpatrick, solid. I think perhaps the questionable one was Samuel because he did not succeed as much under Ron.
Okay, there may be some questions.
That's true. Probably Ron's fault.
What did we say all last season? They need more weapons around Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
And they signed one that they feel fits their system, that they're clearly comfortable with. They've worked with him before. Well, I think it's nothing but
and by
upside.
The way, I'll bet his arrow's
pointing upwards.
I'll bet over five touchdowns right now. Anybody want to take that wager?
No, because I think with the rushing element, he will have more than five touchdowns, more than five end zone trips.
Yes, he will.
He stays healthy. He's a super weapon for them.
If he stays healthy, he'll have more than five.
Right.
Yes.
I just remember seeing him the first time I saw him, well, live, I was up at Penn mm-hmm. State. And Penn State was playing Ohio State, and it was the game where Penn State upset Ohio State. They blocked the kick. Grant Haley ran back the kick for a score. And that game, Curtis Samuel, he was running back in college, and he was unbelievable. He was so quick and fast, and they used him, and I was like, this kid's going to be legit in the NFL. I can't remember what year he was then. Maybe he was a sophomore, but they got to use him, man. They just got to use him, and he's going to score touchdowns.
He's got
the ball.
19 combined touchdowns in just 32 started games in his mm-hmm. career. That's a pretty good number. And he's going to start all 16 games if he's healthy. You look at his starts over the last few seasons.
Yep.
He started 4, 8, 15, and 5 games.
Yep.
He's starting every game in 2021, barring an injury.
By the way, Mr. Bickle, we were talking about that GPS device.
Yeah.
That the NFL Trace McSorley was listening to our discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's texted in. He goes, "Listen to y'all right now. Catapult is what those GPS devices are called. They put them in their undershirts that they wear mm-hmm. For games and shoulder pads."
Mm-hmm.
So Catapult, I don't know if that's the company or the system that they use for those GPSs.
Right, yeah, they have all the data. It would be nice to see it as a viewer, as the guy that called in a few segments ago said. You know, it'd be cool to say, oh, yeah, he just ripped that one, 50-mile-an-hour fastball or whatever. I mean, there would be something to that. The thing is, I'm not certain that it would be impressive, right, because we're so used to pitchers throwing 100, guys in tennis, hitting it 130-mile-an-hour serve. Are you going to be really impressed that Ryan Fitzpatrick throws one
45.
56 miles an hour,
It's relative. It's a huge ball.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Right? Hockey guys are pumping it over 100 miles an hour, right? Aren't they? I think they are. Like when Ovi rips one, Cakes, how fast is Ovi ripping?
Well over 100.
Yeah. In lacrosse, it's the same thing. You know, if you're really ripping them, it's over 100.
I can't remember the player's name. I think it was a defenseman for the Islanders who took a slapper off of the side of his skate in a recent Caps game. Mm-hmm. And there's no padding on that side. It's just, a thin layer of plastic or whatever, composite it is they make the skates out of. Do you know how much that would hurt? Like a 90 mile an hour slapper hitting you basically in your upper ankle.
Oh, no, I can't.
He was limping over to the bench. I just felt for the guy.
Goalies are insane.
That wasn't even a goal. That was just a defenseman. But the goalies are crazy, too, because they stand in there for all of the shots.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
They just get pelted.
You know, yeah. I know lacrosse is a smaller sport, but those guys, all they wear is a chest protector.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, could you imagine an Ovi slapper hitting your goalie helmet at 105 miles per hour?
No.
Like, it's got to
be
the
never.
It's got to sound like the world is ending. It's got to be so loud.
Oh, yeah,
when
it hits you in the face mask? Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how long it takes.
I'd have a heart attack, I think.
I wonder how long it takes a goalie to suit up for a game. How long does it take him to put all that stuff on?
20 minutes?
15 or 20 minutes, I would think.
It's got to, at least.
I mean, those guys have it down to a science now. But, I mean, it's still a lot of padding, a lot
of
equipment.
If you and I were putting on the same amount of pads that those guys do, it would probably take us an hour.
Exactly.
I know I'd complain. I guarantee you that.
You definitely would. You'd be salty.
Anyway, just getting back to that whole idea. Who was it that wrote that Curtis Samuel was the worst signing?
It was from Bleacher Report. I'm not sure.
It's a Bleacher Report?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a garbage report.
I bet you can find someone who said it's their best.
Sure.
Yeah, I know this. So when they announced it,
it's one guy.
Washington fans were psyched. We weren't disappointed. We were excited for that. That's exactly what the doctor ordered. We, as Cake said, we needed another weapon opposite McLaurin.
Right.
You need to move past guys like Dontrell Inman. Okay, you have to have a legitimate second receiving option, and Curtis Samuel brings you that. And Humphrey's out of the slot. Clearly Fitzpatrick likes him. That's his guy.
We said he was the smartest guy he's ever played with.
We don't even know who they're going to draft at 19. And we can get back into what Lombardi predicted. I don't know if Mookie Betts wants to pull that audio back up. But what if they take a stud receiver in 19?
Right.
Now you got another weapon.
What if they take, like, Kadarius Toney?
Yeah, now you got another weapon.
Like a mini Tyreek Hill to play out of the slot. But, I mean, they
That's
it seems
what
like
I want.
They've gotten their slot guy in Humphreys.
What if they take
Elijah Moore or Rondale Moore? What if they take another stud at 19 and they don't take a lineman and they don't take a quarterback?
That's what I want, a toy. Yeah. I want another toy to add to the offense. I don't want to just gamble on some quarterback. It's just a total gamble, you know.
Mookie Betts, can you pull up that audio again for what Lombardi predicted on, I don't know if that was his podcast.
Once we get into the draft and we're going to react to what's going to happen in front of us, you know, picking where we're picking, you know, there's a lot of things can happen. You know, we have targets, we have ideas, we have guys that we like, but that always changes just because of the fact that, you know, everybody has a choice. And so you just never know what's going to happen at that point.
So Ron Rivera has said, Mike, there was a mistake to not hold a true quarterback competition, giving the job to Dwayne Haskins, in part because there was no preseason games. And after four games, he benched Haskins. He was done with him. And now with Fitzpatrick entering his 17th season, he clearly does not want to repeat the mistake. He's got a couple legitimate challengers in Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke. Now, you did say when Andy Dalton was signed by the Bears, the worst thing a team can do is to fill a position and still need a player for that team. Washington owns the 19th overall pick in the draft. What do you think about what Rivera saying?
I think he's saying exactly what we just said in the prior before he became on. I mean, they're going to wait to that draft. And if Trey Lance starts to slide, they're going to go get his ass. That's what he's saying right there. They're going to go get his ass. We're going to react to what happens in front of us. He's not lying. You know, Ron's just being totally honest. Now, do they want to go up to 4 and guarantee them that they get Trey Lance? Well, they're probably, you know, Atlanta probably wants 2 number ones in future years. And, you know, and so it's too expensive. So it's cost effective for them to sit there and wait to see what happens. I'm sure they're engaged in conversations with Atlanta. But I think that that's where they are. I think they want Trey Lance. I think they're willing to go get him. I think they want to do it in a way to where they can maximize their cost.
I know we speculated who's giving him that information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Riverboat Ron, the way he's kind of framing it. It almost sounds like he's getting it from the top dog. That's just my speculation. That's my read on it.
My speculation is Marty Meatballs. That's my speculation.
Right, and we don't know.
And Marty is that? Because they got Martin Mayhew and they got Marty Herney. I'm guessing it's Marty.
Marty Meatballs, apparently, wasn't he doing like radio shtick or whatever from Carolina over meatballs or something?
Yeah, I think
he was eating meatballs.
That was the shtick, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's Marty Meatballs. They're both like executive type guys. They're probably old buddies. And I mean, it could be Ron too. I mean, I think it's a perfectly great guess by Cakes. But somebody's feeding it to him. You don't go hard like that and say, I don't think I know. When you go hard like that, someone's telling you something. right? He's just not just making that up.
Yeah. And the question is, if Trey Lance goes to San Francisco at 3, will, you know, Marty Meatballs, and will he,
it's a great nickname,
will he be enticed to trade up for one of those other two guys? You know, would he trade up to 7 or 8 to get Fields or Mac Jones or, you know, whoever? But
right.
Or do they just want Trey Lance?
We will see in about 3 weeks. The draft is looming. When we come back, Jason, I need a Masters update. I need it like I need oxygen. I need you to give us some scores from Augusta, my friend. But for the first time, the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup playoffs is coming to the great state of Maryland. The top 70 players in the world converge on Caves Valley Golf Club for the 2021 BMW Championship, August 24th through the 29th of 2021. Baltimore's iconic and challenging course provides the ultimate test as the playoffs heat up. Tickets are available now at bmwchampionship.com. Secure your place to watch the drama unfold. Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday.
That's right. Presented to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. And, you know, only 5 or 6 groups have started down there in Augusta, so not a lot of big names out there early, but your leader is Hudson Swafford. He's 2 under through 7. Matt Jones is 1 under through 6. Ian Poulter's just birdied number 2, so he's 1 under through 2.
Let me just say something. Yeah. I don't know much about Matt Jones, okay?
Yeah.
But he happened to be on the course exactly when I was on the course.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think who he played with, but I think he was playing with Zalatoris. And okay. I knew Zalatoris, but I just didn't really know Jones or his story. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I took hardly any pictures of the dude. If that dude goes out and has a miracle week and becomes like a household name, I am going to be bitter because I followed him for 4 or 5 holes.
He's a very quick player, I'll tell you that. And Drabby should like him because he went to Arizona State.
Did he?
Oh, really?
I don't know much about him. I really don't.
Yeah, he's an Aussie. He's good. He's playing well early. Now, I hope, Cakes, you didn't have Sandy Lyle in your golf pool because he's 6 over through 6.
I hope you didn't pick
Sandy Lyle.
Isn't Sandy Lyle old?
Yes, of course.
I mean, of course he's 6 over. How could he not be?
So it looks like there's some bigger names getting ready to tee it. I think Jason Day's close. Matsuyama, guys like that. Bubba Watson, Koepka. So I'm just watching it on the range right now on the online coverage. Just looks so money. God, it looks nice down there.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Jason, I mean, you got to tell your boy, if he could get you out to Pebble, I'm sure he has connections. He can find a way. If not to play at Augusta, he can at least find a way to get you some tickets.
Oh, my guy, he's got a lot of pull, but there's no way he can get me on Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the ultimate connection.
I mean,
but
no,
he could get you to the – just to walk the ground. It's worth it. One trip, even if you don't have to do it all the time, it's worth just at least one trip to walk.
Hey, remember the guy we met a few years ago, 20-plus years ago,
yeah,
who's going to hook us, and he's going to fly us down there, private jet, and we're going to play Augusta, right? All he needs is our Social Security numbers.
God, we were so gullible. I think we're still gullible to a point, but not as gullible as we were 20 years ago.
I don't think we did. I think that's when it raised the red flags for us, but he had us going until that point.
Was this off the air?
Yes. It was a guy came up. He
came to the station, the old station in Fairfax.
Came to the old station.
Met with us. He said his dad worked for who? Who did his dad work for?
I think it was Gannett, who owned USA Today.
Gannett.
Yeah, and he had access to a private jet, and he wanted to take us to Augusta.
Yep.
And, I mean, he had us going.
And we were falling for it big time.
All he needed was our credit card numbers and our Soch.
Well, he didn't ask for credit, but once he started asking for Soch, that's when finally our big dumb antenna went up.
Right, yeah. We're like, maybe he's a scammer.
But it took us a week to get there because we were excited. But it wasn't as big as that guy that showed up in the Ferrari or whatever, the rented Ferrari. Because I noticed his keys, they, like, he took it from a car lot. And then he was pitching us some show. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was.
We met up in the conference room.
Yep. Yep. That, man, we have had so many.
We had
guys
a couple guys back in the day try to dupe us, but. Yeah. Look, Cakes. No,
we took the meetings.
The
give them the, we took the meetings, Cakes.
We took meetings.
Well, look, yeah. We're not stupid for taking the meeting. I mean, anybody who's offers
who wouldn't
that.
Who take the meeting? Yeah.
You at least take the meeting, and then you find out, right. All right, you guys are just idiots. You're lying to us. I mean, you're a fraud. I mean, you're just a fraud.
Exactly. Exactly. Give me some of the other tee times, Jason, because I know at 2 o'clock, right, is it Spieth that's going off around 2 o'clock, you said?
Spieth's so going off at 2, yeah. Spieth, Cam Smith, and Morikawa go off at 2.
That is an awesome group.
Adam Scott, DeSham, and Max Homa go off, let's call it 140-ish.
That's another great one for TV.
Yep. Cantlay and M and Fitzpatrick, who, of course, Cakes is rooting for, they go off about 130-ish.
I regret that pick already. What a terrible pick. Yeah. I had Rory on the board. I could have taken Paul Casey, who I think has a better shot, but I panicked. Shocker. Yeah. Made a bad pick. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. Of course, EB and I have got to do – remember, don't forget, 12 o'clock, we're doing the DeMatha Zoom interview from 12 to 12:45.
I know. Yeah. I'm locked in. Right. I still can't find the email where it has all the questions. Do I even need that? Maybe I should just wing it. I feel like I'm just going to wing it.
I think you're going to wing it. If I had to guess, you're winging it.
Yeah, I'm winging it.
I mean, they're going to ask us what everyone usually asks us when talking about
questions.
The show. You know, how we started. What are you doing for your 25th anniversary show?
Doing nothing.
Do you still think you're going to be on the air in 25 more years? Well, I mean,
25 more years?
Yeah, no chance of that.
Are people crazy?
Some people are.
I just want to not forget to do the Zim interview too. We got to do that.
Well, make yourself an alarm on your phone.
I did. But, I mean, that's prime master's time.
All right, speaking of phones, we have a few calls left on an open line Thursday. These people have been waiting around.
We definitely
patiently.
Haven't taken kind enough calls
squeeze
today.
Squeeze them in here at the end.
All right, let's go to line three. Let's go to, line two. Let's go to Troy in Suitland. Hey, Troy, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
What's going on?
Hey, Troy.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
All right, man.
Good.
I just want to get you guys' take on the safety position for the Washington football team this year. You got Landon Collins coming off injury. I think he had maybe an average season last year. Then you had Cameron Curl step in, who I believe played better than Collins. And so,
I loved him. Loved Curl.
You guys take on maybe first who do you guys think would be the week one starter at that position between those two guys?
I don't know.
You know, and you also got to consider Collins. He's getting the big money.
Yes, he is.
Right. And I think that does factor in as much as they don't want it to. My guess
factors in, but if he's not back to 100% or if Curl outplays him in camp, I don't think Ron has any bones about starting him over Collins.
But it's
I don't
hard.
Think he's going to care.
I think it's hard to – I mean, he makes a lot of money to not start that guy. Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard.
Yeah, he's going to start.
I think he's going to start, Cakes.
He's going to start. Maybe they get a guy in the draft.
Too,
who knows?
I know that Ron Rivera wishes they could go back in time and that they didn't sign Landon Collins and have that big bloated salary to deal with. Right. I know that.
Right. I know I defended Curl a lot last year. And I think I was vindicated later because I think he did get some votes for Defensive Rookie of the Year, right? I think he was maybe in the top five, maybe top three or something. He got a lot of attention in terms of Defensive Rookie of the Year.
And he led Washington players.
He came out of nowhere.
He led all Washington players in performance-based pay with nearly $500,000. He said, you played so silly and we're paying you so little, we just have to throw basically $500,000 on top. Of your pittance of a seventh round pick salary, so good for him.
Can't go wrong with kids who are coming out of the SEC, for the most part, especially on defense.
He's a youngin; he's only 22 years old.
Yep,
love that.
So Drabby, tomorrow, are you going to try to get us Lombardi after he dropped that bomb on his podcast?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, let's try to get him, And I'm going to work on my angle with Marty Meatballs.
Okay.
And see, I mean, I've been working on that a little bit, just softly and, you know, quietly in the background. I'm going to put a little more push on it.
Are you going to Rick Lombardi when you ask him who his source is?
No, but I'm going to say, come on, man. It's got to be Marty Meatballs. Is that your boy?
I think it's Ron. I think it's the big dog.
But
why couldn't it just be a scout?
It could be.
Could be.
Why does it have to be the head dog?
Could be. You're right.
Jason.
Yeah.
It's a classic tingle.
Tingle play.
Tingle.
It's my tingle. My instinct.
It's my tingle play du jour.
Right. By the way, I don't believe it's going to happen, just for the record.
Well, it takes a lot for it to happen. I mean, things just got to work out. The stars have to align. The stars have to align.
Pick a quarterback in the first round.
I think it might happen if he slides past like the 6 or 7 range. If he gets in that 8 to 10 range, I think it could happen. Especially if they love him as much as Lombardi is saying.
It'll be great for the radio show, but it will not. I think it'd just be. It's gonna. That's the last thing Ryan Fitzpatrick wants is another high draft pick, you know, selected in the first round.
Maybe they've gone to him and said, look, you're our guy this year, but if we have an opportunity to draft the guy of the future and he slips to us and we don't have to give up a ton to get him, we're taking him.
And you
can't worry about how Fitz is feeling about that.
I know. But I asked Fitz that. Was that part of your equation? Did you ask them if they're doing that? And – you know, did you demand that they don't do that? And he said no.
So. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Interesting how it's going to play out. Got 3 weeks to the draft.
It's around the corner, man. It's
looming. All right, we got to get out of here. We are done for the day. Enjoy the first round of the Masters. Coming up next on The Fan, our friends B. Mitch and Finley. See you tomorrow.
Beep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. audacy. Download it today.